Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
On the East Coast. Appreciate everybody joining us. Give us a call, 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. This is Redneck and I's Radio, all things trucking and then some. I'd like to thank all of our great sponsors, and that's Trucker Tools, truckertools.com. Go check them out. That's the app you can download on your phone. Go to your app store, wherever you get your apps downloaded, and look up Trucker Tools. And you can book freight, track freight. You can even plan your route and get the truck stops, fuel stops, parking, showers, and Walmart's even maintenance and fuel. So get that downloaded, Trucker Tools. TruckerTools.com is their website. Download their app, Trucker Tools, the app for truckers. Appreciate all their support of Redneck and I's. So I was just Googling, and let's see. Wait a minute. I'm going to verify this because I just heard it, and I was trying to verify that there's some type of bill in the House that would include $755 million in truck parking grants. So I'm doing a little digging here. Whoops, there we go. Yep, Freightways. Actually, this was a month ago. Senate proposes $750 million. Let's see. And that was back on December. And nothing else on this other one. It might have been just an ad to me. Let me go back here to the... But I mean... So... When it comes to truck parking, it's not necessarily that the public or the government need to do more, because a lot of the land around the highways are privately owned. So unless you go out and buy land from the owners and turn it into public truck parking, you know, but then, you know, we all know public truck parking is not that good because they do a piss poor job of managing it, keeping it clean and all that stuff like that. But if it's private, you know, I mean, I know we can have this debate if you want, but sometimes you got to pay. And as long as they're taking care of the parking lot, I don't mind paying. As long as the parking lot is good, secure, that kind of thing. But when you just got to pay, like there's some places in San Antonio and Houston to where it's just a small little truck stop. They got about 10 spaces. But what happens is that the people that live in the area will park there all weekend. And it takes up a lot of parking. There's even one up in Palmer, I think, Texas, up there on 45. Where a lot of the spaces are empty during the day, and they might fill up during the night, but a lot of times they are occupied by people that live nearby, and they just leave their car there and drive their truck, and pretty much when they come home, they park their truck at the truck stop and go home. And when the truck stops try to eliminate that, what they do is they implement some type of fee. So, yeah, it hurts us when we're trying to park for the night, because when we're trying to park for the night, we might have to pay a fee, but it keeps spaces open. Because the people that come in there trying to park on the weekend and take time, you know, and go home, they're not occupying those spaces when they're at home and that's a truck stop. So, yeah, and see this here, I can't read this article without signing up for this deal here. But my thing is when it says grants, I kind of like that because it kind of, to me, that grant means it opens up money to give to private individuals or private companies so that they can expand their parking or create more parking on their facilities. I personally, okay, and you know, I know that this is the land of the free and all that, but it's kind of like if you're going to operate some type of facility on next to the highway, and people, they pay a premium for this property to be on the interstate, right? And they create a shopping center or a big gas station, something like that. And you know what they do is they're taking away from the ability of truck parking. You know, one of the good examples is New Braunfels. Okay, New Braunfels, Texas. They're at the bottom of the hill. If you drive down that way all the time, you know what I'm talking about. There's a TA up on top of the hill, and it's pretty big. Okay, they actually redid the exit there, so it's a little bit easier to get in and out because of the. It's now an overpass, and instead of having to go up and around and that one lane bridge, it's now a big underpass where it's open. You know, it's a little faster to get around there, and it's easier and all that. There's still a lot of construction going on, but it's getting there. At the bottom of the hill, there's one little truck stop down there, and it's not really, it's just a truck stop, it's got parking, there's a Burger King, and there's a gas station, there's no showers, but they've got diesel fuel, and they've got like a little restaurant, like one of those kitchens where you can order food to go and everything, and they got a little place to sit down and everything like that, but, and then that's it, and then, so for years, there really hasn't been anything in that area. And then all of a sudden what they did was they developed a big shopping center, like a Target, you know, PetSmart, movie theater, Whataburger, restaurants, Longhorn Steakhouse, all that on one corner. And so for a couple of years, that's all that was there. You got four corners of an intersection on an interstate, and you had that truck stop, which actually was smaller at that time. It wasn't that nice, but it was still just a place to park and a place to get something to eat and rest up or whatever. And then the only other thing you could do is either you could try to go over there to that Target movie theater. And let's face it, if you were over there, the security might run you off. I was over there a couple of times where I was bobtail. I didn't have a trailer, because I was working for the Walmart distribution center there. And that's another thing is that it's just right down the street from a Walmart distribution center, which means you're going to have a lot of truck traffic in that area. So the TA is busy for that and all that. But when I wanted to get if I wanted a steak, I could go with bobtail down there to that, and nobody would bother me. If you took a trailer, they're going to run you off. And I would go to the movie theater and stuff like that. Well, then, and then the truck stop was a good place to park for the night if you could, you know, especially bobtail, because, you know, bobtail is not that big of a deal. But all of a sudden, they threw up an HEB. And there's an In-N-Out Burger, HEB, all kind of stuff there across the street. And HEB, they'll run you off. They absolutely put everything they could in the parking lot to restrict trucks from parking in that parking lot. And then what they did is they threw up a huge Buc-ee's. And I'm talking about huge, like three times as big as that little truck stop on the other side of the highway. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with these Buc-ee's. There's a few Buc-ee's in the South Texas area that are like where they've got diesel pumps for big trucks. But mostly all of them are just big gas stations with a giant Quick Trip with a barbecue joint. Okay? And they sell grills. They sell everything. And the parking lot is huge. It's big as a Walmart, if not bigger. It's definitely bigger than the HEB parking lot. So, and it being open like it is, it's natural attraction for if a truck driver is passing through and they need to stop and use the bathroom, get something to drink, they're going to pull in there. And I've heard stories. I don't know if anybody else heard stories that it's like they pull in and they park as far away as they could because there's no real truck parking spots. It's all car spots. There might be a big truck there, but it's their fuel truck. and they park as far away as they can. And then he says, before I can even get out of the truck, they were out there trying to throw a sticker on there saying, you can't be here, you got to move. And they have on there, no trucks allowed in the parking lot. And after doing a little digging, you find out what they did was is they built their whole facility for with cheap concrete. They didn't do the whole 12 inches or 10 inches. They only did like six inches of concrete, which means that they know for a fact that they can't handle long-term abuse of heavy vehicles going over that concrete. So they no trucks. And I have a problem with this because all of this property that could be used, there could be a good idea for, I'm sure that other truck stops came into New Braunfels and said, we want to build a truck stop right here. And I'm pretty sure that the city or county or whoever's in charge says, no, we don't want truck stops. We want this high end stuff, which is fine. Okay. But I mean, I would think that the local people of New Braunfels would not be totally against saying, hey, at 9, 10 o'clock at night when the Target closes, we don't really mind if there's a few trucks that park in this parking lot. You know, even now, the grocery stores and Walmarts don't even stay open 24/7. And back in the day when Walmarts were closing at 9 o'clock, you know, Sam Walton said trucks could park at night in his parking lot, right? And I just think that it's you're mandating that these trucks travel up and down the highway and they have to stop and they have to take a rest. They have to take a break. But then again, you will not mandate or provide any parking. You know, and then when private entities want to provide parking and facilities, the cities don't want them. You know, the same thing in Rockwall, Texas. There was a TA outside the city limits of Rockwall, Texas. Well, when Rockwall expanded, and then all of a sudden they annexed that area into their city limits, you know, there was a proposal that Love's was going to set up and build right across the street from the TA. And they said no. And so it forced TA to actually go down the road for about 3 miles outside of city limits and build there. And it's not really not that nice of a location. But again, they wanted to build a bigger facility right next to the TA, and the city said no. And of course, now there's, you know, there's all the shopping there with the In-N-Out Burger and all that stuff like that. And it's really one of those things where the city council, like they even tried to shut down the TA, you know, and they don't want people don't want truck stops. And there it's even been I need to go find the video or whatever, but there was a guy, a city council member there in the Dallas area, may have even been Rockwall, that said that the truck stops bring in drugs and prostitution. You know, that's what he says. And I don't know about you, but I mean, yeah, I see it at truck stops, but not every truck stop. And especially if there is, you know, if your police department is doing its job and if the business is doing its job, you know, I mean, yeah, we see it all the time with TAs and Petros that there might be some problems going on because they don't take care of things. But when you allow these private truck stop owners, they take care of their facilities, you know, so that kind of deal. But again, it's one of those things where the cities, the counties, and the states, they're not really doing anything to help truck parking. And then you come down here with these grants now, and hopefully what I take from this is I hope to see that private organizations will say, hey, give me a grant and I'll take my property here and I'll turn it into truck parking. You know, state of Texas even had some kind of small business loan. If you were looking for any kind of loan in the state of Texas to build a truck stop, it was part of their mandate to give out loans for truck stops or truck parking. And of course the problem is that when you're on an interstate, it's hard to find property that people are willing to allow you to build truck parking. You know, that's what it's come down to. So kind of like, I mean, what I'm getting at is that it's almost like we need some type of federal law that mandates that if you operate a business along a major interstate, that you need to provide some sort of truck parking on that property you're developing. So if you're developing this huge, you know, 30-acre shopping center with a movie theater and all this shopping and restaurants, then you need to provide 10 or 20% of that parking lot needs to be open for truck drivers. You know, I mean, you gotta have something, because it is just outrageously hard, especially on these busy interstates like 95 and parts of like 40 and 35. Just truck parking is just way hard to find, and it's getting worse and worse, because just like we're talking about, as the cities incorporate more of the property into their city limits, and then the property becomes more expensive, you know, and then what it boils down to is that you can't, there's no more free parking available. Free parking is going to be gone, because the price and taxes of these facilities on the interstate is going to be so expensive that nobody can afford to keep it. You know, you're going to start seeing TAs probably have to fork out some type of, you know, like they're going to have to sell part of their property, because they can't, you know, they're going to keep raising the taxes on them or something like that. You know, it's just, there's got to be something done, because you expect these trucks to get up and down the highway, and, you know, then you expect them to take a break, mandate that they take a break at a certain amount of time, and then there's no place for them to park. So that's what it boils down to. So maybe, I don't know. I don't think anybody really cares. We're the only people that talk about it. When you bring it up to people that aren't in the trucking industry, they're amazed. They're flabbergasted. They like, what do you mean? I see truck stops up and down the highway all the time. I said, yeah, and they're full. It's like, there's not enough, you know? And, I mean, and then they get built. Like some truck stops might get built where they're not needed, or they're good along the route. But when it comes down to, like, you know, actually shutting down for the night, you know, it's kind of like if you got a load coming into Corpus Christi, and maybe you don't deliver till, you know, 9-10 o'clock in the morning. Okay. Good luck coming into town and finding a place to park. If you're not familiar with the area, if you are familiar with the area, you might be able to find something, but there's no truck stops here. You know, there's no actual like a truck stop overnight truck parking. There's nothing like that. Okay. The Walmart here on the highway has the bars up to prevent you from getting into the parking lot and security and everything. There's an old movie theater here, but there's also security there too. If you got to start saying, well, how far out of town do I have to stop? And you're looking at 30 to 50 miles. And before you can actually look for something, and they're all full. It's always full. It's maxed out. So then you got to go out farther and go out farther. Next thing you know, you're over an hour away, and then you got to calculate your time, because you guys on e-logs, you can't necessarily shut down. You have to make sure that you get there and then get there 10 hours and then before you start moving again, and then that eats your day. I mean, don't we all love it? We all love it to where we can get to the customer and then park there. Right. So let's say that you got a hot load and it's got to deliver at 7 a.m. Now, if you pushed it all night, you get there at like midnight, which is awesome. Right. You get there at midnight, you shut down, you take a nap, you know, you get where you got to go. And then they come and knock on your door at 6:37 o'clock saying, OK, back into this door or whatever, or pull over here. We'll get you unloaded. And you can do all that. And it doesn't affect your e-log because you're not going down the road hardly at all. So you can do all that stuff and your e-log won't be affected. And then, you know, you can kind of, and then that might take them a little bit or whatever. And then you can just kind of pull off to the side or the curb or in the corner of the yard or whatever, and just wait for that e-log to catch up. I mean, I've done it all the time, you know, because a lot of these customers, they're pretty good about that. And if you're experienced, you understand which places you can and can't do that. And now it's getting more and more harder because They don't have the facilities. People don't have that anymore. There's a couple of roads where I work that have a lot of these warehouses and different customers and stuff. The shippers that take the freight and everything in the morning, and they got pickups and deliveries. And you come in there at 5 o'clock in the morning, and there's trucks all up and down the side of the road because they have to pick up or deliver along at one of these customers that is on this road. And there's no other place to park, just on the side of the road. Now, luckily, it's in this old, messed up part of town, and that's the biggest problem, is that it's in a not so nice part of town where there's no facilities, no midnight truck stop or corner store where you can get something to drink or use the bathroom or anything. That it's you're on your own, and you're just on the road, on the side of the road, until things open up in the morning, and you just, you know, pull your curtains, lock your doors, and hopefully nobody will think you're in the truck, which it's hard to say, tell that, because if you got the engine running, then they know you're in there. So, but it's one of those things where you get, you know, people walking up and down the street all night long, you know, picking up whatever they can, whatever's not nailed down, things like that. But I mean, that's what we're coming to, you know, in the regular public, other than us talking about it on these podcasts, they don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody cares. So, you got to speak up about it. And if you don't speak up, then nothing will ever get done. And then when you call your congressman, you know, come on, these guys, they only speak one word. You know, how can helping you benefit me? That's the motto for these politicians. It's how can helping you benefit me? And if they can't help themselves by helping you, then they're not gonna help you. It's not gonna happen. And so, you know, you're on your own unless you speak out, unless you get the public involved and get them to understand. And, you know, go to your local city council meetings. Go to, you know, send a phone call or email to your mayor's office and or your county judge or whoever's in charge over there, governors and all that. They're all at fault. They all can do something. But it's like if you call your congressman, and they say, yes, I'll do something. I am, you know, and I'm one of those ones. I don't care. If it'll help you, I'll do it. But they have no power. They don't own the land. And they don't control who built on that land. The local politicians do. The mayor does. The city council does. They all have to approve that stuff. They're the ones you have to get to change your mind. So, you know, that kind of thing. And we see it all the time that, you know, where these truck stops are, these city councils, you know, there's a lot of them that are just trying to everything they can do to shut those truck stops down. They just don't want them there, you know, because it feels like it creates a traffic problem for them. I mean, like Hammond, Louisiana, how many people probably drive up and down that road and going to those shopping centers on the other side of the interstate in Hammond, Louisiana, and they're sick and tired of having to wait on all that truck traffic between the Petro and the Pilot and the Blue Beacon and all that right there. You know, I mean, I think it's like a 3-lane road with a middle turning lane. And then they've got a roundabout down the other way. And what they've done is they've made it where nobody can turn left. Everybody has to turn right. And then you go to the roundabout and turn around and all that. It's a pain in the ass still. It doesn't even matter that they improve that. It's still a pain in the ass because people still, you come in there and they still want to turn left, you know, and they still think, how do I get out of here? And I don't want to do that. You know, I mean, people freak out, you know. You turn on that CB, you hear them all the time. You know, sometimes you can't even understand them because they don't even speak the Queen's English. You know, so it's like, dude, follow the signs. You can go, you know, and they're like, what signs? Right? That's what triggered. Oh, man. But, yeah, tell me what you think. 515-602-9731 is the number, and we appreciate everybody calling in, joining in, listening along. This is Redneck and I's Radio, All Things Trucking and Then Some. Check us out, redneckandi's.com. Go subscribe to YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. And this has been a pretty good topic. I'm glad I found it on here talking about truck parking because it's one of the biggest. I think it could be probably the biggest issue that truck drivers face out there, other than, you know, all the regulation crap. But it's something that we necessarily. If you've been out there on the road a while and you kind of know where you're going and know who to talk to and who not to talk to. Parking, you solve your own problems with parking. You know, don't park there. You know, every now and then you might say, I don't know if I can park here or not. You know, that kind of thing. But new guys, okay, if you're just now getting into trucking and you're going to truck driving school, just be prepared to get towed because it's going to happen. Especially if you work for a big company that just tells you, get it done. We don't care how. So give me a call, 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody joining along. And this is Redneck and I's Radio. We'll see you in a second.
Well, there I was in Hollywood, wishing I was doing good, talking on the telephone line. They don't need me in the movie, and nobody sings my song. Guess I'm just
I had no business leaving, and nobody would be grieving if I went on back to Tulsa time. Living on Tulsa time. Living on Tulsa time. Gonna set my watch back to it, 'cause you know I've been through it. Living on Tulsa time. Living on Tulsa. Living on Tulsa
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Give us a call, 515-602-9731. This is Redneck and I's Radio, all things trucking and then some. So, we were talking about truck parking and how important it is that people get involved in that. There was a House bill. Looks like the Senate proposed it a month ago. And now it's going into the House or the House bill, and it's like $755 million in truck parking grants. So, not sure if that'll go anywhere. But whoever posted this article, nobody else has posted an article about it since a month ago. And looks like it's been talked about all year long. It's just that today somebody put an article about it in the House. And this website, you got to go in and pay, and I'm not going to do that. So, in other news, Freightways.com put an article, says Michigan Trucking Company auctioning equipment after 50 years. Family-owned Art Mulder & Son seized operations in November. Says an online auction is slated for Tuesday to sell the assets of family-owned Art Mulder & Son's Trucking, AMST. So it looks like refrigerated trucks with Volvo tractors. That's what the picture says. The picture's got. And they're blue Volvos. They got AMST written on the side of them. I don't know if anybody runs up there, if they've seen them or not. It's of Holland, Michigan. It says the move comes 2 months after the refrigerated less-than-truckload carrier ceased operations in late November after more than 50 years. It says this company, which is owned by Michigan-based Medima Asset Management Group is handling the online auction. Yeah, Orbit Bid is handling the online auction in more than 180 pieces of equipment owned by AMST, including 35 semi-trucks, 108 refrigerated trailers, and 35 dry vans. The decision to close the company wasn't easy. However, Greg Mulder, the CEO of AMST, said declining freight volume and plunging freight rates beginning in the late quarter two, lasting through quarter three, forced the LTL carrier to reevaluate. It didn't leave us feeling very good about 2023, Mulder told FreightWaves. All of our manufacturing customers that were trying to ship stuff saw their costs going up as they saw softening in the market. They were asking for price decreases in quarter two, quarter three, but our costs stayed the same and continued to rise. Says Art Mulder founded the company in 1971, hauling cattle with a box truck. Mulder's three sons, says they all worked for the company, along with two of Art Mulder's grandsons. It says, and Chad Mulder became the president, and Chad is the grandson of AMST in 2018. It says, under the banner of Mulder Holdings, Art Mulder's three sons also found a freight brokerage operation, Mulder Brothers Brokerage, in 2008, specializing in LTL market for frozen refrigerated food, Mulder Fleet Services, which started as an in-house fleet repair shop for AMST 30 years ago, has operated on its own since 2020. I mean, they're pretty smart because they went where the money is, brokerage. it's like, hey, man, there's a bunch of stupid truck drivers out there. We can actually book freight and then get them to haul it for less than nothing. and then we can just lie to them and tell them it's good freight, and it sucks. The freight sucks. I mean, that's genius, right? Says co-owners AMST and the managed group, a Florida-based real estate group specializing in cold storage facilities, opened the $31 million, 147-square-foot cold storage facility in Holland in March. That's probably what they did, too. They overexerted themselves with some kind of cold storage facility. Says seamless transition. AMST's customers have transitioned to its logistics division, working with partner carriers in the LTL space to transport refrigerated goods in various distribution centers, according to Greg Mulder. Or, yeah, they probably get out of the trucking business altogether. They're just focusing on brokerage and storage. Hey, like you're saying, they go where the money is, and getting out of trucking. In early 2022, the company had 46 power units and 52 drivers, according to the Federal Motor Carrier Safety website. However, throughout the year, the company had scaled down its fleet to around 20 trucks and drivers prior to closing, Greg Mulder said. He said many of the AMST's remaining drivers were working for other carriers in West Michigan within days of the trucking company's layoffs in November. So the company plans to keep its U.S. Department DOT number, but remain dormant for now, he said. AMST isn't ruling out a comeback returning to an asset-based carrier if freight conditions improve. Says our desire was always to keep a fleet. It's in our blood. It's what got us here, Greg Mulder said. After 50 years of hard work and the three generations working in the trucking, the last thing they wanted to do was close down. And that's how it is. So yeah. But I mean, it's not like that's all they were doing was trucking and now they're done. I mean, they have a cold storage facility and they have a brokerage firm. So they continue to screw drivers out of money. I mean, let's face it, there might be some good brokers out there. Somebody prove me wrong, but it's what might be 1% of them that might be pretty decent, but I don't know. I don't think so, but that's it. Now there's going to be an online auction. So let's see, when I click on this and I click on that link, it goes to that website, which is the online auction. And there's no way of knowing. There's a lot of auctions. There's no way of, I guess you got to go and choose it or search it or whatever. up-and-coming auctions. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you would do that. So they're auctioning it off, which means that you could get something pretty cheap. If you're looking for a refrigerated trailer, looking for a van, 38 dry vans, they got 35 tractors. I don't know if they're all Volvos. The one on the picture is a Volvo. And looks like it's pretty new. It might be 5 years old. It doesn't have the crap plastic on the mirrors, the aerodynamic crap that they put on the mirrors and the windshield. And I can't remember. I think they got rid of that visor. They still got a visor on the truck, so it might be a older truck. But yep, that's the way it goes. So what do you think? 515-602-9731. Give me a call. Let me know. You see other trading companies going out of business, and do you know why? So other than that, you know, Redneck and I's Radio, all things trucking, and then some. Let's head to the lines here. What's going on, bud?
Oh, not a whole lot, Ed. How you doing?
Oh, man, just recovering. I had to go back to work so I can get some rest because I've been riding all weekend.
Is that right?
We went to New Braunfels, which is about, it was 170 miles. So we rode 170 miles up, 170 miles back in one day.
Oh.
And it was chilly.
Wow.
Yep. It was fun.
Now that's more than I put on my bike all last summer.
Yep. Yep. And then we rode Sunday, and it was awesome.
You'll be trading that thing off next summer and get you a new bike. You'll have that wore out.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at it, so I'm getting up to, I got 14,000 on it already.
Is that right?
Yep.
You've only had that, what, less than a year?
Yeah, I mean, I bought it in December of 21. And so it's just a month over a year, and
yep.
it had 4,500 on it. So I got about 10 grand on it.
Huh.
Is what I put on it. Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
That's the difference going up here and down there.
No kidding. Yep. That's why I said
I
up there.
I got 20-some thousand on ours between on each one of them. So I got 20-some thousand on them. Mine's an 04.
Yeah, and you see that a lot too. A lot of people will trade in bikes. They don't ride them very much, you know, because I mean, if you ride a lot, and there's a lot of people that ride a lot down here, but there's also people down here that don't ride very often. There's one guy, he was trying to sell a breakout like mine. It was a 2014 and it only had 3,800 miles on it.
Huh.
And so you're right. I mean, that's why when up there, you know, when I was noticing those bikes are cheap up there, it's because they don't ride them enough. Down here, it's like you can ride all the time, so they got a little more value in them because people like to ride. But yep.
Yeah, I don't know. They are sitting in the shed. They have been since about what, October, November. Yeah, I winterized them, put stable and everything in them, got them all set, put them in the shed out there, put the tenders on them, all three of them sitting in there side by side. Got the 10 battery tenders on them. That's where they'll sit till spring, especially that big snowstorm coming through tonight. I got to go to work in the morning, but I got to leave here by probably about 4 or 5. But by the time it's getting ready to bust loose and start up here, I got to go to work. I'm going to run some local stuff tomorrow. So I haven't done anything this week. I haven't done anything about anything the last couple of weeks, just a couple loads out to Gary and back, and that's about it. Yeah, their brokers, I don't know. I just can't see why everybody's picking on the brokers. I mean, they, you know, that them poor people, they're not making any money. You know, they're just, you know, the drivers is just, the companies are just beating them up left and right. They should be crying about them, you know, taking the percentage that they're taking because, they, you know, they're struggling right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dirty bastards.
Sitting behind those desks is hard work.
Yeah, that's hard work, man. That's hard work trying to keep your lives straight.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and you got phone calls coming in, drivers wanting to run miles, and drivers wanting to increase their rates, and it's just too stressful.
Yeah.
So you got to make good money because it's stressful.
That's like all the companies selling out to other companies. You know, they can't afford to pay their drivers. You know, but they can. You know, just like Heartland. You know, them guys, their turnover rate is phenomenal. You know, and now they can't pay the drivers anymore, but they can go out and buy other trucking companies out, you know. And it's not just them. I mean, that's just one of the few. They're all doing it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No,
it's crazy. We've had that discussion how many times?
Well, we said that before. It's like these trucking companies, they spend millions of dollars a year trying to hire drivers, and then they probably spend the rest of the money that they earn trying to fire drivers, you know, because it's
right.
Like it's we got rules you got to follow, and we need you to follow these rules to the T. And it's like, well, I mean, your rules don't make sense. This is, you know, we're out here in the real world, and they're like, we don't care, you know. So put these computers on the truck and do it the way we tell you to do it. We know better
because
we're scientists. We're scientists, and we're lawyers. We know better than you.
Safety. We're all about safety, but keep putting, you know, distractions inside the trucks. More and more electronics, more and more, you know, distractions. And they're talking about distracted driving. Well, you guys are the one creating it, not the drivers.
Yeah. And then you
put it in there, and they want to complain because, you know, the accident rates.
Yep, and then you won't do anything. Like the lawmakers, you know, it's like, you know, everybody learning how to drive is like learning how to walk. You know, once you get it, nobody ever has to question you about it again. It's the way you drive. Hey, that's fine. The way you drive is fine. You don't have to learn anything new. You're fine. You can drive your four-wheeler anyhow you want. You can cut trucks off. You can swerve in front of them and all that. There's a video where a truck driver was turning left. And it was like a flashing yellow. So he had a caution yellow turning left. And there was, I guess, I don't know what had happened, but there was an SUV in the left lane coming at that truck. And the big truck saw the SUV was like coming slow. So this dash cam is from the car that passed the SUV. So the SUV is coming slow. And the truck's like, I can make that, you know, I can make it before that SUV gets there, so I'm going to go. Well, the video shows a white car passing the SUV and trying to go fast. And because he tried to pass on the right of that SUV, that big truck never saw him. So it's like, you know, you were driving faster than you probably should have, and then it looks like they never even hit the brakes. As soon as the truck, I mean, he hits the truck in the tail end. Like if he would have just like maybe tapped on the brakes a little bit, he would have cleared it. But it's one of those things where you blame the truck, but yet you're trying to go faster than everybody else. And then you blame the truck. You know, it's one. I mean, I remember that when I first started driving, there was a kid driving a car and he had those little low rider tires. And, you know, the truck's kind of stopped in the intersection because we're trying to turn and it's backed up traffic. And here he comes down the right lane, and then he slams on the brakes, and because he's got those little knobby low-rider tires on there, the car just does not stop at all because those tires are nothing. And he comes and goes, well, you didn't see me? You know, he comes out, and he says, you didn't see me coming down that lane? I said, dude, I'm stopped in the middle of the intersection. You don't see me?
Yeah.
You know, I mean...
Yeah, you're 12 foot long. I'm 50, you know, 70 feet long. You know, who should see who?
Yep, it was crazy, you know, and that's the way it is. They just, you know, it's like we always say, truck drivers, you're guilty till proven innocent. So it's the way it works.
That's right. Yeah, it's getting worse. It's getting worse by the day. But what do you do? You know.
So have you guys cleaned out your house of all your classified materials? Make sure you don't have any classified documents. I think we're going to go door to door now. Make sure nobody has.
I think that's what we need to do. We need to start going around to all your neighbors now. Make sure they ain't got any.
Yeah. I mean, because apparently they're just popping up everywhere.
I heard tonight now where they supposedly found some at Pence's house now.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, you know,
I want to know when they're going to go to Hillary and Bill's and Obama's and them.
Yeah, I mean, that just makes it naturally assuming because he said, Pence said that because they ended up in those boxes at his house is because of a rapid transition, a hurried transition, he said. So they just had to pack up their stuff and leave, you know, and that kind of thing. And I don't even buy that because it's like if you do your job, you know, I mean, we're all, I mean, that's what I'm going to say. You get into an accident next time, and it says, well, they wanted me to hurry, so I hurried. And, you know, like, well, you shouldn't have hurried. It's like, well, I mean, no, everybody else can hurry and apparently do whatever they want.
Right.
So why
right.
can't I? You know? So.
Well, the first of all, the documents should never, they shouldn't be never be taken out of the archives to start with. They should never,
right.
never
yeah.
leave D.C. Never.
Never. Right.
If they want to look at them, they need. There's a space down there. There's a spot down there they can go look at them, and leave them and go back.
That's my whole point of the when they were talking about, like, so in my mind, I'm thinking of when I watch movies, like I watch those terrorist movies and spy movies where the president or somebody is at their personal residence having coffee or whatever, and they get a phone
right.
call. And they need to, you know, look at, like, go into this room in my house where I have all of the stuff and everybody does their work and everything. It's like, no, you do like everybody else, okay? You take, I mean, well, you know, they're on call 24/7. Yeah, you know what? That's what the job entails. So if you feel like you need to take a vacation, then you need to give up that job, okay?
That's right.
You know, you don't get to go take a vacation and then have the little courier bring you your classified documents and breakfast in bed. Okay, you don't do that.
Right.
Okay. That's why there is a vice president residence and a White House is so that your house is in the secure location. Where you sleep is at a secured location.
Yep.
Well, I mean,
it's just like the attorneys going in there and looking and gathering them documents up. The attorneys had no business in there, period. Period. Done. Yeah,
well,
their personal attorneys had no business in there.
So Brett Baer had an interesting little timeline, is that I think it was January 9th, that's when Merrick Garland appointed the special counsel. And then the next, and then that afternoon, the press secretary said, everything's done. We're done. and then Biden went home. He went to his Wilmington home that day, that night or the next morning. And then 2 days later, they found more documents at his home. So what's his name? Old Ducey at the White House press corps. He asked, he said, what did the president do? Why did he do that? Why did he go home? And then 2 days later, they found those documents. What happened? And they're like, she's like, well, just go ask his lawyers. You know, and I was like,
yeah.
I was like, well, damn, you know.
It's like they're entitled to do whatever they want to do, but not you.
Yeah, which I feel sorry for.
Which I
feel sorry for that press secretary, because she's one of those where she probably believes wholeheartedly in whatever the agenda is, and then when the people that she loves and supports like that are doing stupid crap, and she's like, why am I doing this job? You know, why am I here defending this guy when we should be? And that's what her whole thing is that we shouldn't be talking about his issues. We should be talking about the agenda. It's like, no.
She's doing exactly what she's told to do because she likes that money. She likes that. She's getting paid damn good to lie for him.
Yeah, that's what do you call Ben Shapiro always says it too. He goes, he goes, every White House press secretary is supposed to lie for the president. That's their job.
Yep. Exactly.
But you could just tell she's, you know. She's got that angry black woman face, you know, like what the hell? Like, hilarious.
And when she ain't got an answer for it, it's just, you know, we're done. We're done here. We're done here, Peter.
We're done here.
I answered your question. No, I'm done. It's like, okay, so you don't have an answer, so we're done.
Oh.
Right.
Yep, then the rates keep going down. I don't know about y'all see that out there, but they keep having articles about the freight rates dropping, which the whole economy is probably taking a dive because they're talking about raising the interest rates again, so that means that the stock market's going to go down and everything. So
sure it is. Sure it is. It ain't going to get no better for a while.
Here's a funny little article. This is from San Antonio. It says San Antonio truck driver. Oh, come on. Well, I guess we're not going to talk about that. Nope, I guess not. But I try to pull it up, and I can't. It won't let me look at it.
No.
But it says here on the bracket, it says San Antonio trucker drops the big rig off for service, and then it disappeared. Little did the San Antonio truck driver know that when he took his big rig into the service facility for maintenance, that it ended up somewhere else. Yep.
Imagine that.
That's funny. But hey, you never know.
I don't think they'll ever get that straightened up down there.
They might be using it to run people across the border now.
Yeah.
So.
I think our government, some of the biggest in the drug cartel that there is down there. I think our government's controlling that. I don't think it's a drug cartel. I think it's our own government doing it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, you can tell things are getting bad. Every website I've clicked on that hasn't been like FreightWaves is still open, and there's a bunch of these other off the wall places I click on, and they want you to join. They won't let you in the website unless you actually like subscribe and pay money. So their advertising must be drying up because they're having to get subscriptions now. So
yeah, well they're going to be waiting a while before I pay anything to join anything in the conversation. They can have it.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It's like why are you you know, if you want your news to be read, then why are you charging people to read it?
That's right.
You know, especially when everything else is free. And that's about it. I'm gonna make me a sandwich, and then get to work. So my
alrighty.
Yep.
Well, I called in last night, but the time I realized what time it was, because I don't know, I was over working, and then I've been having trouble with my shoulder. I don't know, I pulled a muscle or something. My shoulder, my right shoulder, I ain't been able to use my arm worth a damn hardly, so I've been babying it. But yeah, I called in last night. I said, damn, it's 15 till, well, he's still on. I called in. You'd already shut the show down. I said, all right, well, whatever. I'll try tonight.
Yeah, me and Jeff talked a little bit, and then he had to go, and then I was there for like 20 minutes, and nobody called, and I was like, all right, we're done.
All right, Eddie. Well, be careful out there tonight. I don't know what the weather's like down there, but I know it ain't going to be good up here.
Good deal. You guys stay safe.
All right, we'll talk at you later.
All right, now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Take this job and shove it. Good deal. Hey, everybody. We're coming to the end of the show. Appreciate everybody joining in. We're Redneck and Eyes Radio live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Give us a call, 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody joining in. Give us a call and listen along. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can get all the links to that at our website, redneckandeyes.com. And thank our great sponsors. And that's DPF Regeneration at dpfregeneration.com, Trucker Tools, Trucker Tools app, truckertools.com, and Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com. And we'll be back here talking about more things. Remember, call your mayors and call your governors and city local politicians about truck parking, not just your United States congressman or anybody. It's all about local. Truck parking is local. It's a local problem, and we need to take care of it. So even if you live in Dallas and you travel to a certain city every week or whatever, and you always consider it be a problem, find that city council website and give them a holler. Shoot them an email or something. Everybody's got email addresses. Pretty easy. And, maybe you can create something where spread the word, right? So do that. And, like I said, we got to make truck parking not just a trucking issue. We got to make it a public issue for everybody. And they need to understand that, and they need to support it. Most people out there, if you tell them truck parking, so they said that's bad. You need more truck parking. Yes, I do. And then that's it. So just keep making people aware of it. And that's all we can do other than getting a hold of our politicians. Local. Keep it local. Like I said, truck parking is a local problem. And let's get it done. RedneckandEyes.com is the website. And I appreciate everybody joining along. Give us a holler tomorrow, 515-602-9731, every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Appreciate everybody joining along. Y'all stay safe. Stay successful. Keep between the ditches. And we'll see you out there on the road.
I ain't working here no more. Take This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneckinize. Redneckinize, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneckinize was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckinize.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got to redneckinize.